Lord, we come to you humbly knowing that without you we can do nothing, but through your strength all things are possible. We believe, God, as we open your word, that we're hearing your very word from you. We thank you for this revelation. Ask that you will teach us, guide us, and cause us to learn to be seekers after you, knowing that we've not arrived yet. Pray that we will have confidence and assurance that we will have our name on that roll when it's called up yonder, that we will be able to enjoy that special day where we're all together and we get to have this great banquet. Thanks that you're so patient with us and give plenty of opportunity. We turn to you, we turn to your word right now, and we ask for guidance and strength. Your name we pray, Jesus. Amen. I'm going to continue to teach out of the book of Genesis. I love this book still. Getting excited. We get to stay in Genesis till about June, it looks like. And I'm thoroughly enjoying it. We're going to be in chapter 15 today. And as I look at this chapter, I realize that it hits me at home a lot. Abram is demonstrating faith. He's being given some credit for his faith. Says in chapter 15, verse 6, Abram believed the Lord and he credited it to him as righteousness. When we read in the book of Hebrews, in the New Testament talks a lot about the righteousness that was credited to Abram because of his faith. And we want to make sure that when we think of men of faith, we don't think of men that are perfect and we can never attain that. How many of us have ever had doubts? God's going to do something for us. We get to have health. We get to have strength. We get to have eternal life. But there's this delay from when we think it's going to happen to when it actually happens. Christ is coming back. Well, he's been coming back and it's imminent and it's going to happen. But he's been waiting for over 2,000 years. You think about Abram at this point in his life. He left Haran when he was 75. He was promised back in chapter 12, we read, that he was going to have land, he was going to have a great nation that comes from him, and there was going to be blessing throughout. And there's been a little bit of hints of it, but it's not what he was expecting. And in fact, he starts to have some doubts, and these are godly doubts. It's okay to question God. And how many of us think that you know, it's a little... Okay, it's not okay to tell God he's wrong. But to ask him for clarification and to question him, that happens often as we look through Scripture. And God is very gentle and kind and gives answers. So there's a couple things that Abram's not real sure about here. He doesn't have any kids and he doesn't have any land. Those were kind of big parts of the promise. And he's waiting. He just had a pretty good military victory, and then he gave all the stuff back to the king that it had been taken from. He didn't keep anything for himself. So we start out in chapter 15 in verse 1. After this, after that great victory, after he had met with Melchizedek and had given a tithe, a 10% of all the bounty to Melchizedek, the priest of God, he had given all of the rest of it back to Bera, the king of Sodom. And after this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. You've got to remember, too, here that Abram lived before the Bible existed. What a blessing we have to have the word of the Lord in written form. Abram didn't have that. So the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. And I love that when God shows up, he's got words of encouragement. He's got words that are going to be uplifting. He says, "Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward." He'd just given up this huge reward that he could have had, an earthly, worldly reward. And God says, "Hey, Abram, I'm your reward. I'm your great reward. I'm your shield. I'm your protector. I'm the one that's going to cover you." But Abram said, and here's where some of the doubt comes in, O sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless and the one who will inherit my estate is Eleazar of Damascus? He's thinking that he's going to go to his death without offspring. And he's asking God, you know, you promised me. You said I was going to have a great nation come out of me. There's going to be a seed that blesses all the nations, all the peoples of the earth. How's that going to happen if I don't have one kid? How many of us are there sometimes where we look and we think the blessing is going to be impossible? The things we had hoped that would happen by our age didn't happen. The things that we wanted to take place, that we thought would take place in a certain way, that we thought God had all this worked out, and in our mind anyway, God had it worked out, but God's timing is different than ours. And there's delay. And we're wondering how long, when, why. We start worrying. So Abram says, Sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless? The one who will inherit my estate is Eleazar of Damascus. It's just a servant. And Abram said, you have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. Then the word of the Lord came to him. God didn't leave him hanging. This man will not be your heir, but a son coming from your own body will be your heir. Someone comes out of your own loins. He took him outside. God's very practical. And he said, look up at the heavens and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. In the previous chapter, when Eleazar came out of Jerusalem and spoke to Abram, he called God, God Most High, Creator of heaven and earth. Abram later kind of echoed that, and in verse 22 of chapter 14 he says, I have raised my hand to the Lord God Most High, Creator of heaven and earth, and have taken an oath. It's good to take training from people of God. When the priest of the Most High God came out of Jerusalem, he modeled some language that Abram immediately picked up on and learned. And he's saying, God Most High, Creator of heaven, Creator of the earth. And now God says, come out and see part of my creation. Look at the stars. How many of us have ever had a chance to go out and look at the stars on a dark night? A clear dark night. Up here in the Northwest, that's not as often as we'd like, maybe, but you go out there and you start looking. You could get binoculars and look further, and telescopes and look further, and we sent the Hubble telescope out into space. And they purposely tried to find a dark spot in the universe, someplace where they couldn't find anything. They thought, well, let's find an empty spot. And they took the telescope, the Hubble telescope, and zeroed in on that and programmed it to stay on that spot for a week. And it was within a few days, it started to show that there wasn't just stars and things out there. There were galaxies out there. Hundreds and hundreds and thousands of galaxies in the dark spot, that if you held a dime up about arm's length and looked at that little spot there in the sky that you think nothing's there, and you start looking further and closer, and God's made this immense universe. Abram, look at the stars. And then God gives us as humans the ability to look further. Look at the stars. If we can't get a sense of the awesomeness of God, a God that can set those stars in place, He created them with the speaking of His voice. His word makes things come true. And He's given His word to Abram, you're going to have offspring. There's going to be a nation. There's going to be a seed that blesses all nations. You're going to have land. He's made these promises to Abram. It's His word. He's a God of His word. And He says, look at the stars, count them. Try to figure out what's out there. And then God said to him, so shall your offspring be. Verse 6, Abram believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. Here's a man that's somewhere between 75 and 85. He's got no children. His wife is barren. And the God of the universe, creator of the heavens and the earth, comes to him in a vision, gives him his word. He says, count the stars if you can. You won't be able to count your offspring. There's going to be that many coming from your own loins, not your servant. And Abram believed the Lord. That's remarkable to me. He had some doubts, but he still had belief. Are we there? I love in the New Testament when a gentleman comes to Jesus and he says, yes, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. I'm there often. Yeah, Lord, I believe, but could you show me in our day now? Could we see it like Habakkuk asked for? Verse 7, he also said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans. I brought you out of Babylon to give you this land to take possession of it. He reminded Abram about the land promise. He knows Abram's heart. He knows Abram's mind. And Abram's thinking, you know, I don't have a kid. Don't have any land. Abram said, O sovereign Lord, he's still giving him credit for all things. How can I know that I will gain possession of it? More doubt. So the Lord said to him, bring me a heifer, a goat, and a ram, each 3 years old, along with a dove and a young pigeon. What a strange response. One of the ways that they would have covenants or promises between people, between nations, would be to set up two rows of animals. It would be a row of the same animal divided, and then the person that was going to walk between these as a promise, like, I will do what I say I'm going to do. I'm promising. It's like cross your heart, hope to die, stick a needle in your eye when you're a kid, or when we get older, we put our hand on a stack of Bibles and swear. This is one of the ways that they did that, was that there was a covenant. I'm going to walk between these carcasses, these separated, parted, dead animals. And if I don't keep my word, may I be like them. And I'm assuming at this point, when God just says, go get these things, Abram's thinking, okay, I'm going to have to walk through here and give a promise to God or something. He's not sure what's going to go on, but he's obedient. Abram brought all these to him, cut them in two, and arranged the halves opposite each other. The birds, however, he did not cut in half. Then birds of prey came down on the carcasses, but Abram drove them away. That's kind of in our life, isn't it? We're trying to make a commitment to God, but there's things coming at us trying to stop us. There's all this stuff in the world that tries to attack our intentions, to break us down. Abram drove them away. As the sun was setting, Abram fell into a deep sleep, and a thick and dreadful darkness came over him. Have we ever gone through stretches of darkness? Feelings of hopelessness? What's going to happen next? This doesn't seem like it's working. Then the Lord said to him, know for certain that your descendants will be strangers in a country not their own. Again, this is a pretty unique prophecy as you look through it. And the initial readers of this in the time of Moses, Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible, and they would be reading this and they'd say, wow, God knew about that way back then. Way back then. Your descendants will be strangers in a country not their own, and they will be enslaved and mistreated 400 years. Talking about Exodus and Egypt. But I will punish the nation they serve as slaves, and afterward they will come out with great possessions. That took place. And again, as we look at this chapter that talks about the doubt of Abram, I'm sure that the initial readers are thinking, you know, God, you're wanting to give us this land. You've promised us this land, but we have doubts. And God's saying, I've had the plan and I've been aware of what's going to happen way back from the beginning. Yeah, you were in Egypt, 400 years. But I knew that was going to happen. I told Abram about that before Isaac was born. And if you have doubts now, just look and see. Everything I said would happen took place. It all came about. they left Egypt with great possessions. You, however, will go to your fathers in peace and be buried at a good old age. In the fourth generation, your descendants will come back here, for the sin of the Amorites has not yet reached its full measure. God even was showing grace and mercy to the Amorites. They had not had sin that reached its full measure yet. I don't know exactly what that means. God's got a threshold. He says, I'm done. Do we as parents have that threshold sometimes with our kids? Like, we'll give them more grace, and it's like, okay, you crossed a line that you can't cross. This doesn't work. And God's got that line. Verse 17, when the sun had set and darkness had fallen, a smoking fire pot with a blazing torch appeared and passed between the pieces. On that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram and said, to your descendants I give this land. And then he spells out which land he's given him. From the river of Egypt to the great river, the Euphrates, the land of the Kenites, Kenizzites, Kadmonites, Hittites, Perizzites, Raphaites, Amorites, Canaanites, Girgashites, and Jebusites. And God had chosen to build Abram's faith with his word. Do you want more faith? God gave us his word. He's given us the ability to look at it, to recognize his character, to know him personally. I want to turn to a psalm. Psalm 22. I'm going to read it. Some of you will recognize some of the words in this psalm as coming from the New Testament. During the Passion Week, on the cross, this first verse was spoken by Jesus. Many scholars think that Jesus actually recited the entire psalm, prayed the entire psalm to the Father as he's hanging on the cross. He wouldn't have been able to verbalize it because of the physical condition he was in at the time. But the first verse, my God, why have you forsaken me? Familiar words. This is not necessarily a messianic psalm, but a lot of it, as you look through it, you start seeing Jesus in it. This was written by David. It's for the director of music to the tune of the Doe of the Morning, a psalm of David. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me? So far from the words of my groaning. Oh my God, I cry out day by day, but you do not answer. By night, I am not silent. Yet you are enthroned as the Holy One. You are the praise of Israel. In you, our fathers put their trust. They trusted and you delivered them. We can gain faith. We can get stronger from realization of what God has done in the past. We can look at people that cried out to him and their prayers were answered. On Facebook this morning, there was a little link to a YouTube video that young gal that Kathy and I had in a high school youth group when we were working at a church down in Nevada City, California. When she got married, she had a 7-month-old baby, and she was on Interstate 5 down in California. They're going 60 miles an hour in the northbound lanes, and somebody decided to come across the line. Drunk driver, 120 miles an hour in the southbound, head-on collision, driver-to-driver collision, looking at that car. It's like, how can this happen? Roanna's entire body and face were embedded into the dashboard. They had to pry her off of the dashboard. She survived. There were many, many prayers. The little baby, Nicole, 7 months old, was in a car seat, and they thought she was fine at first till they realized that she had a shattered spinal cord, and she has been, since the age of 7 months, she's been paralyzed from the armpits down. She is a woman of faith. My faith grows from knowing that God is a God that answers prayer. She never let that hold her back. Rowanna, the young high school girl, she and Tim, her husband, just celebrated their 29th anniversary yesterday. This accident was back in 1988. She still walks with a cane, but she's walking. And she's got this beautiful daughter that's 25 now. And this daughter made a video about her life. She's had a mission trip to India. She's spoken life into many people, been an encouragement to others in a way that if that hadn't happened, we wouldn't know the awesomeness of how good God is and how hard He works. When those things happen in our lives, most of the time we're thinking, God, why us? Why me? What did you know, this isn't in my plan. God says, I got it covered. I'm going to make something good come out of this. Our ways aren't God's ways. Nicole doesn't seem to have any animosity towards God or the drunk driver. She does try to encourage people not to drink and drive. It's been a part of her mission is to tell people, be smart, don't hurt others. But she hasn't let it stop her. She's been an inspiration to a number of special education teachers along the way. She graduated high school when she was 16. She bought a house when she was 21. She's got a daycare center that she's opened, and she's running a daycare center. And she can do an awful lot from this wheelchair through the power of God. I see pictures of her skiing because Rowanna and Tim made sure that they could give her all the opportunities that she would have had otherwise. They found special chairs that she could design so she could actually ski and use her arms for control and just river rafting and all kinds of things that she's done, been able to do. And the miracle is her attitude, her faith. So many of us would get bitter when something like that happens. Abram, he's sitting here, he's got a barren wife, no kids, no land, and God's given him promises. What's our tendency if things don't happen quickly? God, I wanted that fixed faster, so we build a microwave oven. And we can cook in seconds instead of minutes. We don't want to wait for anything. But God has a different timeline than us. And eternity is worth waiting for. And when it's time, hopefully we can go and meet Him and He can say, well done, good and faithful servant. Back in Psalm 22, verse 6, but I am a worm and not a man, scorned by men and despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They hurl insults, shaking their heads. This is King David writing this. He had a rough life. Verse 8, he trusts in the Lord. Let the Lord rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. They're mocking him with these words. Yeah, you trust God? See what God can do for you. The soldiers mocked Jesus the same way on the cross. Yet you brought me out of the womb. You made me trust in you, even at my mother's breast. From birth I was cast upon you. From my mother's womb you have been my God. Do not be far from me. For trouble is near, and there is no one to help. Many bulls surround me, strong bulls of Bashan encircle me. Roaring lions tearing their prey open their mouths wide against me. I'm poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart has turned to wax. It has melted away within me. You ever had a heart that feels like it's just melted wax? Flowing and you can't do anything about it. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, like a broken piece of pottery, and my tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. You lay me in the dust of death. Dogs have surrounded me. A band of evil men has encircled me. They have pierced my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. People stare and gloat over me. They divide my garments among them and cast lots for my clothing. He's so close to death, they're ready to swoop in and take all of his possessions. But you, O Lord, be not far off. O my strength, come quickly to help me. Deliver my life from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dogs. Rescue me from the mouth of the lions. Save me from the horns of the wild oxen. I will declare your name to my brothers. In the congregation, I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you descendants of Jacob, honor him. Revere him, all you descendants of Israel. For he has not despised or disdained the suffering of the afflicted one. He has not hidden his face from him, but has listened to his cry for help. There's a benefit to getting together in the house of God with the people of God and sharing praises. We can build our faith by being around other people of faith. We can build our faith from realizing the Word of God speaks of individuals that actually existed and went through things similar to or worse than us. Our faith can be built by trusting that as God has helped others, he will help us. How many times has God rescued me and I didn't even know about it? I know of a few instances where he rescued me. I'm aware of it, but there's been many more, I'm sure. How many times have I driven up and down Highway 2 and known that my life is in God's hands? I've seen oncoming cars more often than I'd like to think. I've heard stories where you kind of just hold on tight, close your eyes, and hope you make it to the other side, and then you get there, and that big vehicle didn't hit you. God is a big God. He has rescued me. He has rescued many of us. And when something bad happens, it doesn't mean God wasn't with me. But I can have doubt. Jesus, as the Father looked on him and was probably not able to actually look at him because he took on all of our sins. My God, why have you forsaken me? We can feel like God's not wanting to have anything to do with us. And we can realize maybe it's my sin that's causing God to not look at me right now. If that's the case, Lord, forgive me. He promises, if we confess, he's willing, able, and ready to forgive us. And not only just to forgive us, but to clean us up and to sanctify us and to change us and to create in us righteous hearts. Psalm 22:25. From you comes the theme of my praise in the great assembly. How did he get from verse 1, my God, why have you forsaken me, to from you comes the theme of my praise in the great assembly? He remembered, oh yeah, this is the God that made promises to some of my forefathers, some of my elders, people that I knew about, to Nicole, to Roanna. And this is the God that saved them and rescued them. They were in way worse circumstances than I'm in now. So I want to praise God in the assembly. God is my theme. God is the one we want to turn to because we know he's the one that's faithful. Verse 26, the poor will eat and be satisfied. They who seek the Lord will praise him. May your hearts live forever. All the ends of the earth will remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations will bow down before him. For dominion belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. All the rich of the earth will feast and worship. All who go down to the dust will kneel before him, those who cannot keep themselves alive. Do you know that every knee is going to bow? Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Posterity will serve Him. Future generations will be told about the Lord. They will proclaim His righteousness to a people yet unborn, for He has done it. He has done it. It is finished. He's paid the price. He sent the Holy Spirit to guide us and direct us. And He's chosen to use the weak things of this world to evangelize the nations. Father, we thank You for who You are. We trust, knowing what You've done in past, we trust that You'll do even more things in the future. As we feel barren, even possibly as a church here, wondering, where are all the people, Lord? We know that You are a God that provides. We trust, Lord, that You will turn hearts, start with mine, God. Cause us to recognize who we are and how much we need You. Thanks for demonstrating Your love toward us while we were still Your enemies. Thank You that we can pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.